Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I encourage you to be people of prayer. Well, today we're going to look at Romans chapter 12. Grab your Bible, stand to your feet, turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. And we're going to read verses 1 through 8 today. We're not going to read the whole chapter like we did last week. Some people didn't come back this week because we read the whole chapter last week. I'm just kidding. I don't know that for sure. But that's just how I'm going to judge them. You may say it's wrong to judge. I know it is, but I just did it. You do wrong things sometimes too. It's all jokes, okay? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I'm reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible. We'll have it on the screens if you need it behind me. It says, Paul writing, I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters. Brothers is just a terminology for believers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is what we talked about last week. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. He commands them, do not be conformed to this world. Don't follow the patterns of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That's how God wants you to live your life, in his will. Good, acceptable, and perfect. Verse 3, we're going to talk about verses 3 through 8 today. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's true, it's accurate, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's breathed and inspired by your Holy Spirit and given to men to write so that we could have it for instruction in righteousness, for reproof, for correction, that it could build up our lives and it could cut away what is not needed and what is harmful in our life. We give ourselves to it today. I pray that you would empty me of me and fill me fresh anew with your Holy Spirit, that I would be able to speak accurately and clearly what you want to say to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. We've got a QR code that you can scan if you want to access sermon notes. You can do so also on the seat back in front of you if you want to follow along with what we're talking about today. Before we get into what I'm talking about today, though, let me tell you something very exciting. Following service today, we're going to have a baptism. We got a couple people being baptized. And if you want to be baptized, if you follow the Lord and believers baptism, we'll baptize you today as well. We are always excited to help people follow the Lord and believers baptism. But directly following service, if you'll go out of these doors to your left, and go around to the awning. The baptismal is set up over there. And it's going to be a little chilly, but hey, following Jesus costs you something sometimes. And so we're excited about that. But please stay around and let's celebrate these decisions to follow the Lord in believers' baptism today. All right, so to bring you up to speed, we're on week 3 of our Difference Makers series. The first week we looked at the life of Gideon. He said, I'm the smallest person in the smallest clan of a half tribe in Israel. And God still looked at him and said, you, Gideon, are going to deliver the people of God from the hand of the Midianites. You're going to do it. And even when Gideon said, I'm so little, God said, don't worry, because I'm going to be with you. I want you to know today, you being a difference maker, it doesn't have everything to do with you having it all together, you being gifted, you being talented. Even though God has given you giftings and talents, it's not those things that are going to make a difference in people's life unless it's God working in them and through you. And so God told Gideon, because I'm with you, it's going to work out and I'm going to bring about the victory. So we believe that even though We may seem small in the eyes of the world. God still has destined us, you and me, to make a difference. In fact, I've been saying this a lot, and I'm going to hammer it home because I want it to be the part of the heartbeat of what we believe as the Well Fort Payne. And I say this, what happens in this church will affect our community. What happens in our community will affect our state. What happens in our state will affect our region. What happens in our region will affect our nation. And what happens in our nation will affect the nations of the world. That means you and I get to be a part of making a difference in the world by what? Doing what God has called us and created us and chosen us to do. So last week we looked at Romans chapter 12 and we talked about being willing to be different so that we can make a difference. Paul beseeches the reader there in Romans chapter 12. It says, I appeal to you in the version we read. He says, I'm beseeching you, I'm appealing to you, brothers, that by the mercies of God, you would present your bodies as a living sacrifice that are holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. And then he goes on to say, hey, listen, don't conform to the way the world lives, but instead let God change the way you live by changing the way that you think. Be transformed. Metamorpho is that Greek word, which is where we get our word metamorphosis, to change after being with. So we're different from the world because we've been changed. When Jesus comes inside of you, there should be a change. We don't keep living the way we were living. We don't keep thinking the way we were thinking and talking the way we were talking. We begin to change. There becomes a metamorphosis. And we're different from the world because, number one, our lives are not our own. And number two, we're synced to God's will and not our own will. And when we live in that kind of submission to God, it empowers us and enables us to use what he has placed inside of us as abilities to be difference makers. So here's what I want to do today. That kind of brings you up to speed of what we talked about the last 2 weeks. Today, we're going to talk about being gifted by grace. And I want you to know before you begin to think or say, well, Spencer, I haven't been gifted. I don't really have any giftings. I'm good at my job, but I'm not good at anything spiritual. I'm good at, you know, this, but, you know, I'm not really gifted to be used by God. That's for pastors. That's for teachers. That's for apostles. That's for prophets. In fact, that's not what the Bible says. Those are offices that God has given to equip the saints for the work of the ministry to make people ready to be used by God. God wants to use you in your life, whether you're a farmer or a pharmacist, whether you are someone that works on cars or you're someone that works in the food industry. God has gifted you and he wants to use you to make a difference. Every single person that has ever been born and every single person that ever will be born has been gifted by God, has been given at birth abilities and talents and things that God has put inside of you inherently that he wants you to use for his glory. And it was given by grace, okay? It was given by grace. What does that mean? That word grace means unmerited favor. In fact, last week we talked about this. Mercy, because Paul, in the beginning, he says, I appeal to you, how? By the mercies of God. Because we cannot even give ourselves as a sacrifice to God unless we come by his mercy, because mercy is us not getting what we deserve. None of us deserve to be in right standing with God. He didn't give us what we deserve. We deserved wrath. We deserved judgment. But by his mercy, he has welcomed us into his kingdom. Now, grace is you getting what you don't deserve. It's unmerited favor. And notice, in verse 1, Paul says that he appeals to them by the mercies of God to present their bodies a living sacrifice. In verse 3, he says, I say to you by the grace given to me, by the unmerited favor given to me, now I'm going to begin to speak to you guys. And so grace is getting what you don't deserve. God chose to bless you in spite of the fact that you weren't worthy of a blessing. That is reason enough to say, thank you, Jesus, that I didn't deserve what you've given to me, but still you saw fit to give it to me. Romans 11, verse 29, it says, for the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. So God chose to give you giftings and abilities, even if you choose to use them for your own gain, even if you choose to use them with evil and ill intent. He gave them and he will not take them away, according to Romans chapter 11, verse 29. The word irrevocable means without regret. That means God didn't give you giftings and then regret that he gave them. They're not to be repented of. They're not affected by the changing of the mind. So God doesn't change his mind and then recall the gifts that he has given to you just because you reject him or just because people reject him. However, his intent and his purpose is not to be rejected. It's not to be thrown off. It's not to be passed to the side. His intent and his purpose is that you would wholeheartedly grasp his love and walk in the gifting that he has so freely given to you. These gifts are listed in our text: prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, generosity, administration, acts of mercy. I firmly believe in my heart that every single person ever born has received at least one of these gifts. Now, I believe you can receive more than them. I truly do. But I believe that every person, if one of these gifts, you sitting in this room today, you either have the gift of prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, generosity, administration, or acts of mercy. At least one, maybe more. Now, you probably think, well, I've got more. That's why Paul starts by saying, hey, I appeal to you guys, or I'm speaking to you by the grace of God. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, because I'm about to start talking about gifts, and everybody's going to go, well, I've got that gift, and I've got that one. Oh, yeah, I happen to have that one, too. And before you know it, it's like you've got all seven of them, but you really only got one of them, right? So he's saying, by God's grace, I'm saying to you guys, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Now, for those of you that still think, okay, yeah, that's nice of you to say, Spencer, but God apparently missed me on the whole gifting thing. He passed me over when I was born, and he didn't give me a true gift. Let's employ some hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the theology of interpretation, and perfect hermeneutics is simply this: Scripture interprets Scripture. That means no Scripture. Scripture is open to private interpretation. As we find something in the Word that we don't understand, we should find another portion of the Scripture that we can parallel it and we can compare it to, and we can build truth off of that structure. You don't build truth off of one Scripture, you build truth off of the entirety of Scripture. And so 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter writes and he says this: as each, how many? As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Notice Peter tells us, everyone has received a gift, but also note the intent of the gifts is not to make us look good, but to employ those gifts as a means to improve the lives of other people around us. He says, as every one of you has used a gift, use that gift, but don't use it so that people can go, wow, you're gifted, wow, you're talented, wow, you're cool, wow, you're spiritual, wow, you're great, wow, you're awesome. Use it to serve other people. And he says, when we do that, that makes us good stewards. That means that if we don't use the gifts that God has given us, or we don't use them as a means to improve the lives of other people, then we're not being good stewards, we're being bad stewards. So God has given each of us a gift. Once again, gifts are linked to grace, because remember what he says, as good stewards of God's varied grace, his unmerited favor. Because God has given you unmerited favor by giving you a gift, you steward it. So God gave them, we received them, we steward them. Verse 3 of Romans 12, back to that, Paul says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So he recognizes himself as an apostle, that the grace, or the gift that is on his life, rather, is solely tied to the fact that he didn't deserve it, but God gave it anyways. And he's instructing themselves, don't think too highly of yourself. So he's about to explain these grace gifts that God gives that we don't deserve, but he's saying, don't get a big head about it. Realize when, yes, you're given a gift by God. God has graced you. He's given this to you. But when he gives it to you, it doesn't give you the right to be prideful about that gift, okay? Hey, I'm gifted in administration and I'm awesome at administration. Hey, I'm gifted at acts of service and I'm really great at that. Hey, I'm really gifted at prophecy. It's not that you can't acknowledge the gift. It's not that you cannot even make people aware of the gift. He's simply saying, don't be prideful about it. Don't be haughty about it. Cool? Okay, let's move on. Remember, the church in Rome, they weren't getting along. The Romans and the Jews, they're constantly fighting. In fact, one historian said that the Jews shared everything but their wives, and the Romans shared their wives and nothing more. Okay, so there was a lot of, they thought completely opposite from each other. They did not get along, they were fighting, and things weren't going well. And so he writes this letter with the purpose and the intent of making sure that everybody gets along. So he reiterates that idea in verse 4 by saying, hey, look, guys, we're all one body together. okay? You guys can't be the Jews sitting over here, the Romans sitting over here, and these people are over here in this camp, and there's a clique over here of these people. We are one body. We are not divided. We're many members, but we're many members of one body. Now, let me say this today, and it's important that we have this understanding. Unity is not the same as uniformity, okay? Everybody doesn't have to look like you, talk like you, dress like you, act like you. Unity is us embracing our differences because it's our differences that empower us to make a difference. What if everybody was gifted in administration, but nobody was gifted in acts of service? What if everybody was gifted in prophecy, but nobody was gifted in teaching? It wouldn't work. It wouldn't run. He's saying we need everybody working together, you doing your gift, you doing your gift, me doing my gift, because we're all different and difference is a good thing. So let no one think that I'm sufficient in and of myself. No, we have need of one another. Okay, so we have to work together. That's why it says in verse 6, having gifts that differ, how? According to the grace given to us, let us use them. Paul's saying to the church, the way that I would say to you, I would say it this way, hey, get involved. Hey, God's gifted you, use your gift. Don't sit on the bench and talk about how talented you are. Get on the field and do something about it. Use your gifts. Don't just be glad you have a gift. Find out what is that gift and how can I use it. Don't just brag about it, employ it. Use it, as Peter said, to serve. The problem with Western Christianity, though, is simply this, is when someone, we realize they're gifted, what we want to do is we think that because they're gifted, they should be served. But Peter says, when you're gifted, that should make you realize I need to serve, not I need to be served. In fact, it says of Jesus, he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, before we get into these gifts, that you're born with, I want you to understand they're not the same as the 9 gifts of the Spirit that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay? It's different. The gifts that are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writing, and why would he write different gifts to the Corinthians than the Romans and talk about them in a different way unless they were in fact different? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says that the Holy Spirit gives these gifts severally as he wills. Whereas in Romans chapter 12, he says that they are given by grace. That means you can't earn them and you don't deserve them. But in 1 Corinthians 12, they come by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and him giving them severally as he wills. So these gifts were given to you by God. There's nothing you can't get rid of them. They're irrevocable, okay? You can try, you can not use them, but it doesn't mean you don't have them, okay? It's like, you know, a bad cough sometimes that you just can't get rid of. And you're like, will you please go away? And these gifts, they are just there. They're inside of you. And you can either use them for God's glory or you can use them for your own gain. So what I'm gonna do is kind of try to parallel each of these gifts and show you how you could use it for your glory or how you could just use it to get better in life and to succeed and become better. And here's the deal. God's principles work everywhere, okay? God's principles, they work everywhere. They work at work, they work at home, they work in church, they work in the political realm. If you will follow God's principles, you will reap the benefits of God's principles. And so we're gonna look at these very quickly today. We're gonna go through them. Prophecy, number one. This is defined as a person who is gifted in communicating or enforcing revealed truth. That means that these people that have the gift of prophecy, they have a revelation of what is or what will be. They would be labeled, if you were taking a gifts test or if we were to put a title on this gift, they're a perceiver. They have the ability to perceive. They have the ability to look and see if it's going to be a wise decision or if it's going to be a bad decision. If it's going to be healthy to get into this relationship or unhealthy to get into this relationship. And we need perceivers in our life because sometimes they can see the blind spots that we can't see because they have this gift of God that we don't have. And those of us that don't have this inherent ability of prophecy, we're just walking through life and we may walk into something that's not good, that's bad. Whereas a perceiver can say, have you ever had someone come to you, whether it's a family member or as a friend, and they're like, hey, I have a feeling about this. Hey, I have a feeling about this. I don't know that you need to do this or to do that. I don't know that you need to be this. And sometimes we'll get mad at him, right? We'll get upset. You always say that everything's gonna be bad. And we don't realize and we don't honor the gift that is on their life that God has given them to be able to see, hey, there's danger down the road. And you would say, well, if there was danger, God would show me there was danger. Well, that's what he's trying to do by sending you that person that has that gift in their life. But we're so prideful and we don't honor the gift that's in people's life, and sometimes we don't listen to them. They have people that have the gift of prophecy, and remember, this is something you are born with, okay? You just have it. They have the ability to just look at something and discern that's good or that's evil. That's right or that's wrong. People have a certain knowing or people have a certain feeling, right? Maybe you had a grandmother or you had a parent. They were like, I just have a bad feeling about this. I'll tell you a story. When my mom was a teenager, she grew up in Huntsville, and one of her friends invited her to go to a Huntsville Stars game, which they're no longer there. We now have the Rocket City Trash Pandas, which is like the worst name ever. How could you trade the Huntsville Stars for the Rocket City Trash Pandas? I will never comprehend that. But she wanted to go to the Stars game, and my grandfather was working out in the garage, and she ran out there, hey, Dad, can I go to the Stars game with so-and-so and so-and-so? And he said, no, baby, I don't think you're going to go tonight. Well, she does what all teenage girls do, and she storms back inside, and she's mad, and she's complaining to her mom about it. And she goes back out there, Dad, I really want to go to the Stars game. Why won't you let me go to the Stars game? And he said, baby, I just don't feel good about it tonight. You need to stay home. And she started talking back. He said, Gretchen, that's enough. Go back inside. You're not going. Little did she know that her two friends that would be there on the way, or her one friend, excuse me, that went would perish in a car accident on the way to the Stars game that night in a car accident. But he had a knowing. He had a feeling. He said, he didn't say God told me. He just said, I just don't feel good about it tonight. That was the ability to perceive and discern right from wrong, good from evil. Something bad is going to happen. Now, I told you, you're born with this. I look at people. Some people that they can read weather patterns or they can read data and they can look at it and be like, hey, the stock is about to drop on this or it's about to go up on this. And we just think, oh, well, they went to school for that. They're just smart that way. I truly believe God gave them the ability to look at something and perceive and discern whether they're using it for God or they're using it for their own gain. God gave this by his grace. He said, I'm not taking it back. If you use it for you, you use it for you. If you use it for me, you use it for me. It's yours to do with whatever you want. But they have the ability to look at it. Another thing to point out is it's not the same as spiritual prophecy, okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of the gifts of the Spirit is prophecy. That is completely different. I believe that all of God's people can prophesy, and that is spiritual prophecy when God speaks to you and you speak on behalf of God. And Paul would tell us in 1 Corinthians 14:3 that prophecy, it edifies, it encourages, and it exhorts, okay? That is spiritual prophecy. This is completely different. This is just a knowing. This is a discerning. This is a feeling. And this could be in different types of occupations. This could be in a lawyer or a law enforcement officer or a teacher or a parent. It's not bound to any occupation and none of them are, but it could be useful in this way because it can protect us and guide us to God's intended result, keeping us out of harm's way, just like it did my grandfather, did my mom, by helping us walk in his favor. And if we don't have the gift of prophecy, guess what? We'll miss out on what God is calling us to. We need people that have been given the gift of prophecy. The second gift is the gift of service. The word service means to come to one's aid. It means when someone needs help, you're the person that's willing to show up and help out. That you don't just do it, but you want to do it. Some people you ever met someone just like, they just love to serve. Like they just get invigorated and energized every time there's an opportunity to stack chairs or to cook a meal or to clean a bathroom. And they do things that nobody else would want to do. And not only do they do that thing, but they're good at doing it, right? You just see someone's like, man, they're just so much better at that than I am. That's because God gave them the gift to help out and to serve and to come to someone's aid. Tell me that you don't enjoy going to a restaurant so much better when you have a good waiter or a good waitress versus a bad waiter or a bad waitress, right? Because some people have that ability that they're gifted to serve and they have that inherent ability inside of them. People that my wife has had 5 children, which is absolutely amazing. And I'm always amazed, number one, at just seeing how God has given life, but also one of the cool things when we go to the hospital, we're both always amazed at is the nurses. Just their heart to help. Like me, if I came over there, I'd be like trying to like hide in the break room all the time if I was the nurse, right? Like every time the bell rang, I'd be like, I don't want to go back in there. I don't want to do that. But that's because I don't have that gifting. And so I honor those people to be like, wow, I cannot believe how much they love doing what they do. And that's in helping bring a baby into the world. How about people that they're dealing with trauma and they're dealing with, you know, car accidents and they're dealing with freak things that have happened, but they're still there and they want to come to people's aid and serve because God gifted them in that way. And so we're all called to serve. I want you to get this. We're all called to serve, but some people are gifted to serve. Some of us serve because it's the right thing to do. Some people serve because that's what they want to do. And some people that are gifted, it actually completes them. Why? Because they're using that gifting to help build the kingdom. Ways that you can serve, serving your family, your church, your community, or even total strangers. If you love to serve, that's a gift that comes from God. But let me talk about this for a moment. And this is another thing. This applies to every single one of these gifts, okay? This is why Paul in verse 4 starts talking about how we all have different members, but we're all a part of one body. Sometimes there are certain giftings in this passage that when you're gifted this way, you think everyone else should do it because you do, right? You think everyone should, you hold everyone else to the standard of how you're gifted. And people that serve are especially wired this way. It's just one of, there's pros and cons to everything, right? This is one of the cons is when you're serving, and this is where we see this in the Bible with Martha. Martha invites Jesus into her home. He's sitting there and she's cooking and she's cleaning and she's moving this and she's moving that. And she looks over the corner of her eye and there, lo and behold, is her sister sitting at the feet of Jesus. And she becomes absolutely enraged by this. And she goes, Jesus, tell her to help me. Can you imagine talking to Jesus that way? Jesus, tell her to help me. Why? Because she's gifted with the service gift. And she can't believe that someone else isn't serving at the level that she's serving. And this is something that you have to, if this is you and you're like, I just love to serve, but I wonder why isn't everyone serving? And you start getting mad at the church. They don't do enough. They don't do this. Well, maybe their gift is giving. Maybe their gift is teaching. Maybe, and listen, we all should serve, but don't hold others to your standard of your gift because that's how God gifted you. You let them be them and you be you, okay? You do you, boo. That's what I'm gonna say to you today. The next one is teaching. Now, before you think, well, I'm not a Bible teacher, this isn't just talking about Bible teaching. You may say, well, I'm not educated to be a teacher. This isn't just talking about educational teaching. Even though these gifts are employed in biblical teaching, these gifts are employed in the educational realm, teaching is simply this. It's anyone who has the inherent ability to offer sound direction, advice, and to admonish someone in a way that they're now empowered to know what they did not know before. Some of the best teachers are not teachers at schools, they're not teachers in churches, but they're not professors at universities, but they're grandparents. They're parents, they're uncles, they're aunts, they're friends, they're coworkers. But they have this gift to be able to open your understanding up to something that you could not comprehend before. Teachers are generally patient as well. And they have the ability to show you something or tell you something and then wait until you get it right. You ever, maybe you had a grandfather that way and he'd say, son, come here, let's go over here and let's do this. And he'd show you how to do it. And you wouldn't get it right, but he didn't get mad at you. He helped you until you got it right. He probably had the gift of a teacher on his life. And they have the ability of helping us understand things in a simpler way. Something that to us, in our mind, it looks complex and it looks difficult. And we're like, how am I ever going to solve this Rubik's Cube? They have the ability to use language that helps us, our minds open up and understand, oh, that's how that works. That's why this, it's like some of you maybe over the past few days during the election, you're like the Electoral College and the House of Representatives and the Senate. I don't understand all that stuff. But a teacher would be able to explain it in a way that you could understand it and it made sense to you. You ever known someone and they say something, you're like, you know what? They just make it sound so simple. They make it, it was so complex, but then they said it sounded so simple. Yeah, that's probably because they have the gift of a teacher. We need men to teach boys how to be men. We need women to teach girls how to be women, men how to be fathers and hard workers and integral and faithful. We need women that can teach their daughters and other young women how to be mothers that are nourishing and kind and full of strength and full of dignity. We need the teacher gift. And it doesn't just need to be the person that's talking on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. In fact, Peter would write and he would say, hey, old ladies, teach the young ladies how to be women. And boys, look up to the older men, because why? We need people to be teachers, to help us understand and comprehend what we cannot understand or comprehend on our own. I know I'm going through these quickly, but hopefully I'm giving you a snapshot view and you're something inside of you going, hey, I see that. Or maybe I would encourage you with this. If I'm describing these things and you're sitting there thinking, that's my spouse, They act just like that. Tell them that today, because they're probably over there sitting thinking, I didn't get one of these things. But if you can identify this in someone's life, encourage them and help them in that way. And the next one is exhortation. Someone who comes alongside to encourage and to uplift. Someone who comes alongside to encourage and to uplift. This is amazing to me, because I truly believe that the encourager, sometimes we think that encourager is just that person that always has something nice to say. And that can be part of being an encourager, but I truly think it's this. It's someone that can build you up with or without words. That just their very presence instills courage. You feel better because they're around. You feel better. It's like, you know, you can see if you're a big football fan like me, if the quarterback gets hurt and goes out, all of a sudden the confidence of the entire offense goes down. Why? Because that leader's not there. That they trust in. They know he can make that throw. He can make that audible. He can make that call. Their confidence goes down. Why? Because that person isn't there anymore. When an encourager comes into the room where there was not hope, all of a sudden there's hope. Where there was not peace, all of a sudden there's peace. Why? Because they fill people with courage. The word encourage comes from the prefix in and then the root word courage. So encourage means to fill someone with courage. And so someone that is an exhorter, they come alongside, and where you may be lacking courage or confidence, all of a sudden you have it because they have just showed up. And this is often, I believe, an underrated gift. The exhorter makes other people better, but they don't always get the credit for making other people better. They instill courage and hope into an atmosphere. They rally troops to stay focused and to stay focused on what the goal. They may not get the recognition they deserve, but these people that are exhorters are MVPs, to say the least. You know why? Because this word exhorter comes from the same Greek word that we talked about last week when Paul says, I appeal to you. And it's the same word that Jesus uses over in John chapter 14 when he says, I will give you the helper. It's the Greek word parakaleo. The encourager is a parakaleo. They're a person who comes close beside to help make the right call, to give the courage and the discernment and the confidence needed. And we need all of these seven gifts at work in order to be our best. Not just the exhorter, not just the other ones. This thing came out again. All right, the next one, generosity. Now, let me say this about generosity. It has nothing to do with wealth. So many times we think, well, they're rich. Why aren't they more generous? Because they don't have the gift of generosity. They just have found a way to build wealth. It doesn't mean that wealthy people can't be generous. It doesn't mean that people that are not wealthy cannot be generous. In fact, some of the most generous people I've ever met are not wealthy by any stretch or any imagination. But you know what they are? They're generous. And I wonder, how do they give so much and give so greatly and still get by? Because God's gifted them to do it. Yeah. And where God's grace is, you can't make up for grace, okay? When there's grace on your life to do something and God enables you to do it beyond your ability, beyond your measure of human strength or structure that you have, when he gives you that grace, you can do what other people can't. And all of a sudden, because grace is not fair, it's unmerited favor, you're like, how is it that they give so much, but yet they don't lack anything because God has given them that gift. God's favors on their life. We've all known someone who would give you the shirt off their back, right? You got that friend. And maybe they're not even Christian. And it's like, you know, they don't know the Lord. They don't serve the Lord. But goodness gracious, they sure are generous. They're more generous than some Christians. Why? Because God has given them the ability inside of them to have the grace to go, if someone else needs it, I'll give it generously. I'll use whatever I have. You can have it. If you need it, it's yours, man. Why? Because they have the gift of generosity. They have this gift from God. Without generous givers, the church wouldn't function at its highest potential. Now, God gives a baseline, I believe, in his word for what we should give. That's 10%. You can argue with me all you want, but I believe in tithing. I believe in it for my life. We don't enforce tithing. We don't go at the end of the year, everyone that's a member of the church, and say, hey, you didn't give your 10% this year. We don't do that. I believe in it for my life. I encourage it in your life. But there are some people that have the ability to function above and beyond that because they have a gift of generosity in their life. And without those people doing what God has created them and called them to do, the church would not operate at its fullest potential. But thank God for people that have been gifted with generosity. Now, much like serving, everyone should give, but some people are graced to give. For some people, giving is an obedient sacrifice. And for others, it's the greatest joy of their week. It's the greatest joy of their month. It's like, they're like, I can't wait to give, baby. Where everybody else is like, okay, God, I'm trusting you. I'm praying that we still got enough to put gas in the car, but I'm being obedient. Here's my tithe. And somebody else is like, I can't wait to get to church to get my tithe today. Why? Because there's a grace on their life to do so. Now, giving gifts is also meant to improve others, not to make us look good. Remember what Paul said, what Peter said, if you've been given this gift, use it to serve other people, okay? The next gift, leadership. Now, we all have influence. I want you to understand that. There's not one person that's ever been born that does not have the ability to have or live in influence. You're an influential person. You influence your spouse every day. You influence your children every day. Whether that's for good or that's for bad, that's up to you. But all of us have influence in our life. But some people are called to be out front. Some people are called to be leaders. Some people are called to lead the pack. Now, remember where Paul started in all this. He says, look, we have gifts that differ, but don't get big-headed about it, right? We're all part of one body. Just because their gift is different, it doesn't make them better than you. But we can't separate this in our mind. We're like, oh, leaders are higher. Leaders are better. No, they're just doing their job. And just because you follow them, it doesn't make them better than you. It means you're doing your job and they're doing their job. Some people are called to be out front. And he says, I want you, when you lead people that have the gift of leadership, lead with zeal, lead with passion, lead with fervor, lead excited, because somebody needs to be passionate about the vision and call other people towards the vision. And that's one of the gifts that God has given. You ever seen someone, they just got big ideas and it's like, man, whatever they're doing, I want to be a part of it. They have the gift of leadership. And you can use this outside of the church. You can use it inside of the church. People that have this gift are easy to follow. But you know what they're also easy to do? Misunderstand. Because they get so passionate about an idea, they get so on fire about a project that all of a sudden people are like, well, I'm not excited about it the way you are. I thought I was, but I don't really want to do that. And because God has given leaders the ability to have vision and to see things that other people can't see, they'll be describing something and pointing something out. Maybe your husband or your wife is a visionary and they're like, we could blow out this back wall in the house and we could build a barn dominium on the back of the double wide and we could pour out a little pad back here. And you're like, we got 79 cents in our bank account. What are you talking about doing all this? But they can't help it. They've got a leadership ability. They've got vision. They're like, hey, we need to do this. We need to, and they're all passionate about it. And you're just like, I'm not sure. I don't see that the way that you see that, you know? And they're like, well, that's okay. Just follow me and we'll get there, right? But Paul encourages leaders. He says, I want you to lead with zeal, lead with fervor and excitement for what God has called you to do. Why? Because that makes it easier for people to follow. And when they see you're excited about it, they can get excited about it because their gift is not that. There's some people that are like, I don't see it, but I'll give to it because their gift is generosity. I don't see it, but I'll come to the aid and I'll help in it. I don't see it, but I'll be the person that will speak into it in prophecy and give discernment and give perception on, well, have you thought about this? We all have to work together to get to the end goal of where God has given us to get to. The last one we're going to talk about, acts of mercy. This is actually known as a compassion gift. Some people, now again, we should all have compassion, but some people are gifted with compassion. That means this, they got a heart when they see somebody hurting. They want to feed the poor. They want to rescue the broken. They want to help the widow. They want to help the orphan. They're always looking for the marginalized. They're always looking for the oppressed. They're always looking for the spare dog or the stray cat. And they're like, let's take it home and love it. And someone else is like, that is not worth the bullet it would take to put it down. So put it down, right? And that, but they're like, but it's so sweet. It's so kind. You know, we need to take care of this sweet little baby. And but that's because they have this gift of mercy, this gift of compassion on their life. Paul says, though, this is very important. If you're a person, in fact, if you know you're a mercy person, compassion, you know you have this gift, just raise your hand. Come on, don't be embarrassed. Okay, all right. You just like every stray cat, every time that commercial comes on, you know, and Sarah McLaughlin's singing and it's showing hungry children, you're just like, oh, it rips my heart out. And someone else is like, will you pass me the remote so we can change this channel and find another game, right? And you're just like, no, we need to give to that, right? That's compassion. Here's what Paul says. Do it with cheerfulness, because it's very easy for someone with a mercy gift to get depressed because all they see is the problems. They're hurting. They need help. They need love. They need food. They need this. They need that. And listen, can I tell you this? You can't fulfill all of those needs, and that's okay. Yeah. We have to work together, yeah. And we're going to make a difference where we can. We're going to put our giftings together. We're going to put our abilities together. But I'm asking, if you're a mercy person, do it with cheerfulness. Don't let the burden bring you to a place of depression. Use your gift with joy. Hey, I get to serve God in this way. And realize, once again, this is another one that you have to watch out for. Don't judge everybody else because they ain't got that gift, okay? Just because somebody doesn't have it, they don't want to pick up the stray dog, and they don't want to, you know, adopt 15 children, and they don't want to do all that kind of stuff, and they don't want to start a food ministry, that's okay. All right? That's not their gifting. That's your gifting. Do it with cheerfulness. Realize not everybody has this. Let them be them. You be you. Now, here's what I want to end with today. When we work together, instead of judging one another, we can become a strong coalition that has influence and the ability to make a difference. When we work together instead of judging one another. But what happens so often is people with the gift of mercy, they want to judge the person with the gift of leadership. Because the person with the gift of leadership, they're not usually very gifted in mercy. I'll just be honest. They're like, we're going to get it done. I don't care who gets in my way. We're going to get it done, right? But the gift of mercy is like, well, yeah, but what about so-and-so? What about such-and-such? Well, we need you to help us so we don't forget that person, but we also need you to do it with cheerfulness, and we need the leader to lead. We need the giver to give. We need the server to serve. We need the person with prophecy to prophesy. We need the person with teaching to teach. We need all of these people to work together, because when we do, we become a strong coalition that can make a difference in our community. But let me tell you this, if we don't use these giftings and these abilities, we will never make a difference. These are the tools God has given to us to make a difference. I believe this in my heart. And Catherine, you can go ahead and join me. I heard someone say this months ago, and it stuck in my heart, and I hope I never forget it. They said, we're not going to use people to build the church. We're going to use the church to build people. What was he saying? We're not going to take somebody just because they're gifted, and we're not going to abuse their gifting. We're not going to abuse their grace that God has put on their life in order for the church to get bigger, in order for the church to become more famous, in order for the church to become more profitable. Because at the end of the day, this is not a business. This is something that has been ordained by God as a mandate to make a difference in this community as we seek to advance the kingdom of God by being passionate for God and compassionate towards people. It's going to take all of God's people working together and not judging one another and thinking, well, they just don't get it and they don't see it the way that I do. That's because they're not wired the way that you're wired, and they're not supposed to see things the way you do. It's good to have multiple points of view. It's good to have multiple perspectives. And so that's why Paul says, look, we have gifts and they differ, okay? They're not the same, but we can all have the same mind. We can all have the same heart, and that's that a difference is made in people's lives. More people know Jesus. More people are getting saved. More people are getting baptized. More people are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. More people are using the gifts that God has given to them, and their eyes of their understanding is being enlightened, that they can know what is the hope of their calling, and they're stepping into the destiny that God has created them to walk in. Why? Because you did what God called you to do. I do what God called me to do. Listen, don't expect somebody else to do what God has called you to do. You do what God's called you to do, and let them do what God's called them to do. Let's work together. You've been gifted by grace. Stand to your feet with me today. I hope that today you are understanding and realizing that God has called you. He's chosen you. He's put things inside of your life. And maybe you're saying, you know what? I didn't even know that that was a possibility. I didn't know that that was a reality. I didn't realize I was gifted in that way. But as you're speaking, God is beginning to highlight things in my heart and show me I have that ability and I have that purpose. And sometimes what we do is we begin to look at these things and we begin to try to realize, okay, I'm called in this way. I'm gifted in this way. Well, where does that fit into this? Where does that fit into that? Let God work that out. You right now just say, God, use my gifts. God gave you gifts, use them. That's why Paul's saying, if he's gifted you in this way, do it this way. If he's gifted you this way, do it this way. Not one of them did he say, hey, if God gave you this gift, don't worry about it. It's just so you look good. It's just so you feel good. It's just so that your house is more blessed. No, he said, use them. And Peter said, use them to serve others. So if that's your heart today and you're saying, God, I want to use the giftings and the abilities that you have put and placed inside of me for the furtherance of your kingdom, for the benefit of others, would you just lift your hands today? I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you that you have gifted every one of us. You have not missed one person when you handed out giftings and abilities. God, you gave to us the gift of prophecy. You gave to us the gift of acts of service and to come to one's aid. You gave to us all of these different things that when they come together, they're a coalition that provides strength and provides structure for the ability for the kingdom of God to be advanced and for the church to do what you called it and created it to be. And so, Father, today we collectively give you our gifts and we say, God, here is my five loaves. Here's my two fish. Here's what I have. Here's what you've given me. I give it back to you. Use it however you want to use it. God, if you want to use it in a way that doesn't make sense to me, that's okay because I'm submitted to you. My life is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. My life is not my own. My life is synced up to your will and not my own will. So Father, I pray that you would reveal to every single person today what gift or gifts you have given them, how you have empowered them to serve the world around them and to make a difference. And Father, we say we're willing to make a difference. We're willing to be different and to embrace one another's differences and to not judge one another, but work together to make a difference in our community, which will make a difference around the world. And we truly believe that. We thank you for the power and the strength that comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Don't forget, we're gonna have a baptism directly following service. You can go out of these doors to your left, and we're going to celebrate that baptism today. But if you wanted to give your, if you need to give your life to Jesus today, don't leave before coming to find myself or one of the other pastors. We want nothing more than to pray with you and to help you find life with Jesus today, because all the stuff I'm talking about today, yeah, he gave it to you, but life's so much better when you know Jesus Christ and you're walking with the Holy Spirit. So may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you walk in the gifting or giftings that God has given to you according to the measure of faith that has been dealt to each man. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys. See you outside.